Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to somebody that inspires me personally and professionally and in all of the ways. Her name is Shauna May, and she is from Shauna and Lala Beyond the Mic. Shauna, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to dive into all of the incredible things that you discuss. And you guys, I was telling Shauna before we hit record, she has such a beautiful and an eloquent and really elegant way to talk about some of the things in her life. But before we jump into that, give us a little bit of insight into who you are and your background story.
Well, I'm 35. I'm from New York. And I've always had a passion for radio, TV, you know, and I love going like backstage and seeing how like shows are put together and concerts and what goes on backstage. So when I was younger, I was born very sick, prematurely. I was 1 pound, 4.5 ounces when I was born.
That is so little.
Yes, I was the size, my mom tells me I was the size of a telephone receiver. You know, like, so those old phones, you know, that you say. So with being sick and almost dying several times, I was able to have a wish granted, and I wished to meet Britney Spears back in 2001. So I went backstage, I met her. Like, it was the coolest thing. She was really nice. And from then, like, I was just infatuated, like, with concerts and backstage. And I'm like, I could do this, like, for a living. Like, this is crazy. You know, I loved it. So that's really where it came from. And, you know, being in the news, you know, for a lot of different challenges and, you know, disability awareness. So I was used to being in front of the camera and, you know, on radio and being interviewed. So that's where my love came for it, I should say, was, you know, always advocating for myself and others. And, you know, you really have to these days, especially, you know, in this world, you need to advocate for yourself and for others, because, you know, they may not know how to, they may not, you know, have that ability to advocate for themselves. So somebody needs to.
Mm-hmm. I love that advocacy. I think a lot of people get confused and mixed up because they don't want to be offensive and they want to do it right. And they don't want to be too much or too little with advocacy. I think it can be one of those touchy subjects, particularly around disability.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's not enough of it. You know, I try to, you know, push people to advocate for themselves. You know, I've written letters on behalf of people, you know, and it's sad, you know, it's sad that you have to fight for rights and fight for services and, you know, doctor's appointments and medications. And, you know, I'm fighting now with an insurance company. They don't want to pay for a medication for me. So here I am going into the advocacy role and, you know, fighting for it. So hopefully, you know, places need to realize, and companies and the healthcare system need to realize that, you know, not everyone is the same. Not everyone can take a regular medication, you know, or a vaccine or whatever it is. You know, I'm allergic to everything pretty much. You know, I have so many allergies, and, you know, not one size fits all. That's what it should be. You know, and just because somebody can't take this medication or do this or do that, you know, try and adapt things. Try and see what works for that person.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think disability awareness is so misunderstood
and not widely talked about in the ways that other sorts of inclusions are?
I think people are afraid of it. I also think, you know, there's a stigma of, you know, like, for instance, my grandfather worked at, I think it's called Letchworth Village. It was like a institution for disabled people. And that's where they went. You know, if you had a disability, whether it was mental health, physical, or whatever, like, your parents just gave you up and you went to this Letchworth Village place and you lived, you know. And, you know, when I was born, they asked my mom, do you want to keep her, or do you want to give her up for adoption, or do you want to abort her? Like, what do you want to do? And my mom was like, what kind of question is that? Like, are you kidding me? So, you know, it's crazy to even think of. And I'm like, what? Like, they asked you that? And she's like, yeah. You know, so, you know, times have definitely changed. You know, they've given services out to people so that they can stay in the community, in their homes, which is great. But there's still that stigma of, ooh, like, that person, you know, is disabled. They're never going to be able to talk or walk or, you know, do everyday living things, you know. But yeah, we can. We just do it differently. And if we can't do it, we ask for help.
And we all should, you know, be more open to that. I think too, and I think this a lot, it needs to start when you're young, being exposed to all different sorts of people. I know, speaking for myself, I had several disabled family members, extended family members. And so I never had that fear of a wheelchair. I never had that fear of, you know, maybe somebody who thinks intellectually different than me. But so many people have a fear and they don't want to do it wrong. And that desire not to do it wrong is what keeps many people separated or othered. And it's the exact opposite of the goal.
Yeah. Kids need to be exposed, you know, to all sorts of different races and different ethnicities, disabilities, you know. And that's part of the problem, you know, these days is, kids are, especially with COVID, you were so secluded, you know, you didn't leave your house for 2 years almost. So, you know, it's a learning curve, and you can't blame the kids that are picking on the other kids when it starts at home. And it's, you know, the parents that need to teach them, listen, everybody is different. They may not look, you know, like you. They may have glasses, they may have hearing aids, braces, they may not be able to walk, you know. So it starts at home, and that's all I got to say.
No, it's true. And what I love about university, right, is we bring so many different kinds of people from different backgrounds together. And you can either choose to be tolerant and accepting and be curious about others' differences, or some people are going to go down the path of being unaccepting and not wanting to learn. What would you say to someone who is in a new environment like university, and they want to learn how to be an advocate for others?
I would say, I mean, this is like over in the UK, right? And the US. I mean, really, it starts with, you know, advocating for yourself and knowing how to advocate for yourself and sticking up for others. You know, if you see somebody getting bullied, stop them. You know, stop the person that's bullying them, you know, or tell somebody, or, you know, if somebody needs help in a grocery store, you know, help them. Don't just walk past them, you know. And that's really where it starts. You know, you just gotta, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard because, you know, some people don't want to get involved. And, you know, like me, like, sometimes I don't want to get involved. But if I see somebody bullying somebody, I'm going to stop them. You know, I'm going to say something, but just don't come after me. Don't hit me, you know. So it is hard, but you know, you got to start somewhere. And if you want to be an advocate, I would say, like, start out small, you know, really know your state's laws, really know what services are out there for people, because every state is different and every country is probably different. So really know your laws and your services that are within your area.
Mm-hmm. You know, Shauna, you inspire me on the personal level because of all that you're able to do in your life. let's shift into that conversation a little bit. You speak so beautifully on not letting anything in life hinder you. Let's dive into that conversation.
Okay.
So tell me, how do you essentially, I'm trying to come up with the right word here, how do you embody that in your life, not letting anything, no matter what it is, hinder you?
My mom taught me from a young age never to give up. You know, don't let somebody tell you, no, you can't do that. I remember I was in high school and I wanted to be a nail tech. And I wanted, they have this, you go to school and then you leave and you go to something called BOCES. And it's actually for disabled people, but they have like a satellite campus for like continuing education. And when you're in, I think, 11th grade, you can go to BOCES for, they have like well drilling, they have nursing, they have cosmetology. Like, it's just to like start off your career, basically. And so I wanted to go for nails. So I went for a tour and the lady looked at me, the teacher, and she's like, you can't do this. And I was like, why not? She's like, because, she's like, you don't have, like, I can't grab because my hands don't bend. So she's like, no, this isn't for you. And I'm like, no, you're not for me. You know, so I kind of like turned around and I'm like,
that's such a powerful distinction, Shauna. No, you're not for me.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, let's turn this around. So, you know, that's where it all began was, you know, my mom always said, you know, you could do whatever you want to do. You could do whatever your heart desires. You know, you just got to adapt and do it differently. You know, I drive a car. I have an adapted car. Well, I did have an adapted car. I'm looking for a new car right now. You know, and being as independent as I possibly can, my mom has always pushed me to be independent, no matter what, you know, even surgery, you know, and recovery. You know, I'm not allowed to stay in bed. My mom, you know, has me up walking, you know, like the next day. Like, I remember like the doctors coming in and, you know, they're like, you need to get up and walk. And I'm like, no, I'm in pain. And, you know, and I'm thankful that he literally picked me up and was like walking with me, you know. And I'm so, you know, I'm frustrated at that moment, but at the time I'm like, wow, like, would I still be laying in bed? You know? So you really have to push yourself and you have to have a good support system to help you, you know, get over those humps. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, if I didn't have the mother that I have, you know, I might not be the same person I am today.
Moms are so special.
They are.
They're so special. Was she a big support when you were transitioning into media? Because I have to imagine there were probably some people that doubted you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's still a support. She still, you know, listens to every show. She'll, you know, I'll post something and she'll say, you know, I wouldn't have wrote that. Or why did you say that? Or she's my biggest critic, you know? So, you know, she goes with me to different shows. You know, she'll say, you know, what are your questions that you're going to ask? Let's go over the questions. And I'm like, Ma, I've been doing this for like 15 years. Like, I think I know what to ask, you know, and I think I know what to say, you know. And she's the biggest critic, but the biggest fan of the show. So she has a good support system, but sometimes I'm like, Mom, stop. Like, you know, all right, I know what I'm doing.
She's a momager. A mom plus a manager equals a momager.
Yeah, that's what it's for. I'm like, slow down. Like, you know, time out. You know, it's my business. I know what I'm doing, you know. But she's like, you know, you could have said this different. You could have done that. You know, sometimes I take her advice. Most times I do. Sometimes I don't, you know, and she'll say, like, I told you so, you know, but.
Every mom does that.
Yeah.
When you were starting in your interviewing and your media journey, were you initially nervous? And what was that process like to get started and chase this dream, knowing that there probably would be people that said, you know, she's not ready or she can't do it?
There's still people say that I'm not ready. There's still people, I mean, you know, some of the situations that I've been in. Yeah, you know, I just, as much as I try not to let it bother me, it bothers me. you know, and I think it's the fact that, you know, I'm a disabled content creator slash podcaster, that they're kind of like, whoa, wait a minute, what? You know, and again, it's the stigma of, oh, she's disabled, you know, but, you know, I try not to let it bother me. I try to prove to people, listen, like, this is who I am. This is what I do. I'm good at what I do. I know I'm good at what I do. You know, give me a chance. Give me a shot. And, you know, if they are naysayers, then I just, you know, don't work with them. It's hard, you know, it's really hard. You get the negative all the time. But also, you know, non-disabled content creators, radio show hosts, podcasters, they get the same thing too. So I try not to let it bother me, but it does bother me. Same, you know, at the same time, but I try to not let it bother me.
What tools do you use, or how do you start to make peace with it and overcome it, and even just 5% let it bother you less? Do you have any coping mechanisms or soothing mechanisms?
Yeah, I delete, like, you know, if somebody emails me, I'll delete it. As much as I want to write back, and sometimes I do write back, and I write back very, very sweet and very nice, you know, and sometimes people are just mean, like, they're just rude, and drives me nuts. I block them, I delete them. I go back and I reread like different reviews that people have written about me or for me, and I'm like, oh, okay, like, it's not me, it's them, you know. But then, like, you also think, like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? You know, so, like, it still is in the back of my mind, but I try not to let it bother me. I try not to read the negative comments online about me. You know, there was a podcaster that was very jealous of me years ago, and her whole show was, like, bashing me. And I laughed, you know, I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, I was one of her biggest supporters, and you're going to bash me? Like, your whole show is going to bash me? But, you know, like, then again, you know, she made me more famous, I guess you could say, you know, maybe more people looked me up to see, you know, what I was doing and who I was, you know, I don't know, but I try not to read the negative comments, I try not to listen to negativity. But no matter what you do and who you are, somebody's going to be negative in your life, whether it's family, friends, you know, there's different family members and friends that are jealous of me. And I'm like, listen, you have not, like, there's no reason to be jealous. Absolutely no reason. You know, like, you didn't have to have 7 surgeries, or what am I up to, like 10, 11 surgeries, you know? You don't have to go to the doctors all the time. You know, what are you jealous of? You know, but I guess it's human nature.
It is. You know, I read a study once, and I love what you said because it reminded me of it, is that even when we have all of these positive reviews, positive messages, positive emails, our brain instinctively focuses on the negative one. And it drives me nuts, because I'll do the same thing, is I'll have one negative email or comment, and I'll have 50 positive ones. And I sit there and I dwell on the negative comment. And this study said you have to literally train your brain to acknowledge and notice the positive ones. Otherwise, we won't.
It's true. And, you know, how do you get over that? How do you not? I mean, I don't think there's a way to not allow it to bother you, or to not, because even though, like, I could say all day, like, oh, it doesn't bother me. But, like, deep down, like, yeah, it kind of does, you know? But then again, you're always going to have somebody that's not a fan of you.
Now, Sean, I have a tough question for you. If you could give 3 pieces of advice, they can be about anything at all, to university-aged students, what would those 3 pieces of advice be?
Oh, boy.
I know this is hard, isn't it?
I would say don't give up. Don't let your teachers or other people in the classes tell you that you cannot do something. Prove them wrong. I also believe that, this is probably not good advice, but I don't think you need a degree to prove that you could do a job. But on the other aspect, that's what this world thinks, is that you need to have a degree to be able to do a certain position and a job. You know, I tried getting a job in PR and nobody would hire me because I don't have a degree. But yet I've been in the field for 15 years. So, you know, it's hard.
It is tough. Sometimes we attach our self-worth to something that's outside of ourselves, and it's never a good situation when we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And the last.
So don't attach your self-worth to a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Love yourself more.
Exactly. And the last piece of advice I have to say is just enjoy yourself. Enjoy life. You know, it's not all about school and work. You need to travel. You need to experience the world, experience different things, and have fun.
Life is too short not to have fun. Shauna, is there a quote or a mantra or a song that inspires you that you live your life by?
I would say never give up is what I always live my life by. Yeah, I would say never give up.
That fits you so well.
Yeah, I'm always saying it, like whether it's to myself or, you know, to other people, I'm like, don't give up, keep trying, you know, you'll get there, you know, and I know, you know, we will with our show. We'll become one of the top podcasters. And that's one of our goals, is to become one of the main top podcasters where, you know, other companies and brands reach out to us to collaborate and show, you know, their audiences how a disabled person uses their product or service or whatever it is. So that's one of our top goals.
If someone wants to listen to you and learn more about your show, where do they go?
ShaunaAndLala.com. And that's ShaunaAndLala.com. And you could find us on social media at ShaunaAndLala. And you could follow me on Instagram at TheRealShaunaMay.
Absolutely amazing. As we wrap up and we close here, is there anything you want to say that I didn't ask you?
I don't think so. I think you asked me everything.
That makes me so happy. Shauna, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your very valuable time and your energy and your expertise and your story. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's finally good to be on your show.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.